Hello, I'm Bex and welcome to the Week Junior Show. Today I'm joined by two of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14 year olds. We've got Deputy Editor Rahul and Assistant Editor Flora. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the government's new plans for the country's money, tap dancing frogs, and the search for a Taylor Swift superfan. We'll also be finding out about a big debate, which is all to do with whether schools should have a plant-based meal day. Now, I want to know who had packed lunches, who had school dinners when you went to school. I've got to say, in summer, I had packed lunches. In winter, I had school dinners. School dinners, the best one for me was a good old pie, and it was like a sheet pie. It was like the biggest pie you've ever seen in the world, with an ice cream scoop worth of mashed potato on the side. That was my perfect school dinner. Flora, how about you? What did you have?
I had school dinners as well, mostly. And I think there's something about school dinners that, like, the kind of the grosser it is, the nicer it is in a funny way. And I remember this chocolate sponge that was just so obviously, like, not even any natural ingredients. It's probably all E numbers and, like, I don't know what. With this custard that sat on top of it that always had a skin on the top that you had to sort of pierce through. And it was so disgusting that it was just so delicious.
There's something quite comforting about that kind of food. You look back at it and you're like, yeah, you know what? I could go for a chocolate sponge again.
Absolutely.
How about you, Rahul?
Thanks for that, Flora. I'm not a fan of custard in the first place. The idea of it with
me neither, really.
Skin on top, dear. I was school dinners and packed lunches, but yeah, definitely enjoyed the school dinners more. And my abiding memory of school dinners was my go-to combo of a sausage roll, chips and beans. I have to confess that I'm a veggie now, so something I can't enjoy anymore. And also just seem to remember trying to hustle the dinner ladies and the dinner men for more chips. That was the name of the game.
Of course it is. Getting a few more fries on that plate. Why wouldn't you try your best to do that? Absolutely. Now let's talk about the cover of this week's issue. Flora, what can you tell me about what's going on this week?
So our cover story this week is all about the budget, which is when the Chancellor of the Exchequer, who's the minister who controls the government's finances, announces their kind of big economic plan, which includes how they're going to collect and spend money on the country. And it's a massive event. A big part of it is announcing changes to tax, and tax is the money that most adults pay on what they earn. It's important because it can really influence the way that people vote. So if they think the government's going to, you know, put down taxes or spend more on something, they might be influenced to vote for them. And the general election is actually expected to take place in the autumn this year. It has to happen by Christmas because that will have been 4 years since the last one. So this would be the last budget. So it was a big one. And two of the kind of headline measures were a cut to the rate of national insurance. National insurance is what people pay just on their earnings, the tax people pay on their earnings. And it goes into things like pensions, which is the money you get when you retire. And that has been cut from 10% to 8%. It's all a bit complicated, but basically someone who earns £30,000 a year will be about £350 better off. So, you know, not insignificant. Also, the other big announcement was around child benefits. So that's the money that some people get for bringing up their children. But it's been kind of very controversial for the last few years. You only get it if you earn less than a certain amount. And Jeremy Hunt, who is the Chancellor at the moment, changed that amount. So now anyone who earns up to £80,000 instead of £60,000 can claim it. I also learned a really great fact, which is that Geoffrey Howe, who was the Chancellor from 1979 to 1983, named his dog Budget.
A great fact. That was really helpful, Flora. Thank you, because there's so much stuff in the budget that I don't understand or that you hear about on the news that you're not too sure about. So that was really interesting to know. And also, the front cover, we should say, has a pancake house and Ryan Gosling. So, you know, something for everyone on the front cover this week, I would say. Happy days. Now it's time for Real or Rubbish. This is the bit of the show where, well, I hear a story, I have to guess whether it's true or false, and I take it quite personally, let's face it. So this week, it's Rahul's turn to try and trick me. Rahul, what story do you have for me today?
A question for you, Bex. Are you a Swiftie?
I am, you know. I'm not like a mega, mega, super big fan, but I like her work. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, the headline to our Real or Rubbish this week is Taylor Swift fan at the museum. So this story is about one of the UK's leading cultural institutions, a museum, the V&A Museum, which has been around for over 100 years, was built in honour of Queen Victoria and her husband Albert. And this great cultural institution is apparently looking for a Taylor Swift superfan to come and work for them.
I mean, in what capacity? To help with a Taylor Swift exhibition, or just they just really like the music of Taylor Swift? They want someone to put on some Swiftie in the background.
Yeah, I think, yeah, perhaps it's to teach the staff at the V&A a few Taylor Swift dance routines, you know.
I like the idea that they were just like, we need somebody within this age range and who's got these qualifications and most importantly is a Taylor Swift fan. But yeah, why do we need a Taylor Swift fan?
Yeah, no, unfortunately, it's not for museum staff's well-being. It's in order to educate the staff at the museum and advise them on, you know, cultural phenomenon, modern cultural phenomenon. Taylor Swift's obviously the biggest pop star on the planet. She's a celebrity. She's a businesswoman. She's a brilliant singer-songwriter. And being a museum with great cultural weight and being in tune with what's happening in the world of pop and music, they're seeking a super fan.
So they want somebody to teach the staff about like pop culture.
I think that's the general vibe, yeah.
That seems, I mean, if you want to learn about pop culture, go on Twitter, go on online, go and search for stuff. That seems quite interesting to be hiring somebody specifically for that, unless it's to help with another project they've got on the go. And also, why Taylor Swift? Why not Beyonce? You know, there are so many other people out there that you could pick.
Very good point. Very good point. I hadn't quite considered that. But yeah, also bear in mind that I think Taylor Swift, is it her Eras tour? It's arriving in the UK imminently. So I guess perhaps this is Taylor's moment.
Maybe it is, but I just feel like I'm interested to know why Taylor of all people. I mean, hey, look, she's a big deal and I've got friends who are obsessed by her and are going to that tour. And if this is true, we'll probably be applying for that job and I'll never see them again because they'll be at the V&A for the rest of their lives. But I also find the V&A an interesting choice for that because of all the museums, why would they be the ones most interested in Taylor Swift?
Very good question. Perhaps. Oh,
anything away, are you? Not going to give anything away. All right. Well, while I think about Taylor Swift and her super fans, let's talk about our book of the week, which is Secrets of the Snake Stone by Pew Dasgupta. This is a breathtaking adventure about a deadly race to solve a family mystery and a treasure hunt for a mysterious magical locket. So we've got a message here from the author.
Hi there, listeners of the Week Junior Show. My name is Pew, author of Secrets of the Snake Stone, which has been selected as book of the week in the current issue of the magazine. And I'm here to answer a very important question. Who was my favourite children's author growing up? It's quite hard to pick just one favourite author, but I'm going to go for Jules Verne, a French writer who wrote all kinds of fantastical steampunky science fiction, including books like Journey to the Centre of the Earth and 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Verne was fascinated by mechanical contraptions. It was the fabulous machines in Verne's books that inspired some of the contraptions that you'll find in my adventure book, Secrets of the Snake Stone, such as the alarm gun and the air conditioning hat.
And on our book club page this week, we've also got an interview with Professor Yuval Noah Harari about his new children's book, which is called Unstoppable Us, Why the World Isn't Fair. And it's all about how humans learn to control the world. And something Harari often talks about is fake news, and he spoke to us a little bit about it.
What is fake news? Fake news are big lies. Why does it matter that it exists? If people cannot tell the difference between lies and truth, the whole society collapses. You don't know who to trust and what to believe. You don't know whether the people you meet are your friends or enemies, and whether the food you eat will make you healthy or sick. How can you spot it? It is difficult to spot fake news. One thing to watch out for is very simple stories that divide the world into pure evil and pure good. Fairy tales often tell us about perfectly good heroes that fight evil monsters. But in reality, even the bad have some good in them, and even the good sometimes do bad things. So, if somebody describes the world as a fairy tale with perfect heroes and monsters, this is probably fake news. But the more important thing to say about spotting fake news is that because it's difficult, you should not trust yourself alone. You usually need help from others to know what is true and what is false, because no single person, not even the greatest genius in the world, can know everything by themselves. Where can we go to get the truth? First, to get the truth, it is safer to read long books rather than short tweets. Lies tend to be simple and the truth tends to be complicated. So it's easier to lie quickly, whereas it takes time to tell the whole truth. Secondly, to get the truth, you need to get different perspectives on the same issue. For example, if you want to know the truth about a war between two countries, it is best to read one book written from the perspective of one country and another book written from the perspective of the other country. Of course, you don't have to agree with everyone. One side might be telling a more accurate story than the other. But it is good to at least know both stories. Finally, to get the truth, it is best to listen to people and institutions that are willing to admit their own mistakes. Don't believe those who say that they are never wrong.
All right, lovely stuff. So we've got lots of good authors in the magazine this week. Now, of course, it's not just authors we like to hear from. It is also listeners and readers from The Week Junior as well. Rahul, tell us what's caught your eye in The Week Junior inbox.
Oh, we've got sent a lovely message and a gorgeous picture from Sienna and Elisa. And they sent us a message to say, we are friends from school and we are eco warriors. We made a shop with sweet treats, bracelets and hammer beads to raise money for Cool Earth, a charity to help stop deforestation. In the shop, we raised £27.70. Wow, cool nice. Amount of money. We have even hired a helper. Looks like that's the guy, little guy Arthur in his Bournemouth shirt. We hope Cool Earth benefits from us.
You know a business is doing well if they can hire Arthur, age 7, to do their work for them as well. Excellent stuff. Well done, guys. Saving the planet and making delicious sweet treats. Tell me, Flora, what have you seen this week?
We also got a message from Vespa, who said, I've been reading Where the Wild Things Are at school with my class, which is one of my personal favourite books at the moment. I really enjoyed drawing my own wild thing using ideas from Olaf Falafel's page in The Week. And she's got a picture of her wild thing with yellow eyes, which is what they have in the book.
It's a great really cool. wild thing. And Olaf Falafel, he always delivers, doesn't he? He always gives good ideas for artwork.
He absolutely does. Yeah, I would. I think it's always fun to do what he advises.
Absolutely. Just in life in general. Now, we do love receiving your news and what you're up to at the moment. So do let us know. You can email us hello@theweekjunior.co.uk or you can leave us a voice note. Go to funkidslive.com/theweekjunior and just look for that big red button. Grab a grown up, record your voice and you could star in next week's show. Now, let's dive back into the new issue of The Week Junior and talk about some of the stories from this week. Rahul, what is your top pick?
So I've got an amazing story from the Animals and Environment page. And the story is about some really colourful frogs that tap dance and scientists understanding why they do that. So this is a story about poison dart frogs. And they are, yeah, as I mentioned, amazingly colourful. So the page has got like a beautiful orange and blue one. And then there's another one that's like blue and yellow. And these are tropical frogs that are mainly found, I think, in Central and South America. And these frogs love to tap their back toes. So clever scientists at a university in the US set up a camera and studied 22 of these poison dart frogs to try and understand when and why they tap their toes. So what they did was they filmed them, and they filmed them when they had their favorite food in their enclosure. So their favorite food is fruit flies. And when they had fruit flies in front of them, they were tapping their toes around 350 times a minute. And when there weren't any fruit flies in the enclosure, their toe tapping would go down to around 50 times a minute.
I love this. The idea of doing a little jig whenever you see your favourite food. I think I probably would do that as well.
Yeah. It's quite funny, actually. While I'm reading this story, I'm kind of getting the urge to tap my toes.
Yeah, I mean, I just love tap dancing frogs as a headline. I mean, absolutely, that could be a real rubbish, to be honest, but happy days, well done for them and their lovely dancing feet. Now, Flora, how about you? What have you been finding out about this week?
Well, I've been finding out about the Panama Canal, which is a waterway that goes through Panama. from the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean. And there's a big drama because it's running out of water. So the authorities are trying to find ways to keep it topped up with enough water, but it's proving a bit of a challenge. So the Panama Canal provides a very important shipping route. 5% of global trade uses it. That's around 36 ships a day. It basically cuts out a huge amount of landmass. There's been a really big drought problem recently in that part of the world, and the Panama Canal relies on a nearby lake and therefore rainwater to keep it topped up with water. And currently it's the driest year in its 110-year history. So it's proving very tricky for the ships to get through without sticking to the bottom. And so, yeah, they're looking at options for how they can conserve water, including building reservoirs nearby.
Wow, that is that would be fascinating because, yeah, if ships get stuck, then we don't get a lot of stock, right?
Yeah, things become more expensive. It has a whole kind of knock-on effect on the rest of the world. So that's really interesting.
Now it's time for this week's big debate, and we're talking all about plant-based school dinners. Now, if you don't know, a plant-based diet features few, if any, animal products, such as meat, fish, cheese, and eggs. In the UK, millions more schools' meals are plant-based than they were even a few years ago. In 2022, research found that over 6 months, more than 5 million school meals in the UK were plant-based or meat-free. School meals in the UK have to follow certain rules to make sure they're nutritious. That means they're healthy and balanced. And according to new research, more than 16% of the UK population are eating a meat-free diet in 2024. Now, that's around 8.6 million people. So the question for this week's big debate is, should schools have a plant-based meal day? Now, each of our competitors here has 60 seconds to make their case. First up, we've got Rahul saying there should be a plant-based meal day. So when I just get up my clock here we go. I'm going to reset it to the very start. Rahul, whenever you're ready, go for it.
Okay, yes, schools should have a plant-based meal day. We know that eating less meat is good for the planet, produces less carbon, and we also know that eating more fruit and vegetables is healthier for us. So there's a double reason there for switching to plant-based meals for one day of the week. Also, by having plant-based meals in school, we're introducing good habits to students and pupils, and then they can take those good habits home and influence their parents' eating and buying habits. So there's another good reason for having plant-based meals. Finally, it's a good way of trying different foods. We all know that variety is good, especially when it comes for food, and it's just one day. It's really not a big deal. We're already aware that so many people are eating plant-based diets, and the fact is you can still have chips, right?
I've never heard a more convincing argument, Rahul. The 2 points you made were, it's just one day and you can still have chips. I mean, actually, you've done a pretty good job of convincing me. So Flora, this is going to be hard work for you, but I reckon you can do it. Flora, whenever you're ready to argue with Rahul's point of view, take it away.
I think just because food is plant-based, it's important to say it doesn't mean it's going to be healthier, as Rahul highlights, chips, or particularly tasty, or like my chocolate sponge, or even, you know, particularly good for the environment. There are some products like, you know, some types of non-dairy milk and protein alternatives like seitan and soya that can use up a lot of resources in their production. And fruit and veg that is really cheap, that comes from the other side of the world, you know, is that really going to be good for the environment? I think it'd be much better for schools to allocate more money to really good quality organic meat and dairy products that come from a local source, even if that means they have to buy a bit less and then pad it out with like potatoes, lentils, healthy things. I don't think schools should be limiting people's diets, especially when you're working really hard for exams. You need all the brain power, all the energy you can get. It doesn't really come from chips, vegetables. Besides, if you want to change people's behaviour, you have to let them make up their own minds.
Oh, a strong out there. I have to say, both of you kept it under a minute, which, as we all know, is the main thing I look for in a big debate. So thanks for that. Now, of course, we want to know what our listeners are thinking of this debate, because you're the one who would be affected by it. So tell us right now, go to theweekjunior.co.uk/polls to vote and tell us your thoughts about all of these foodie dilemmas. You can also comment your opinion wherever it is you're listening to this podcast, or record a voice note by going to funkidslive.com/theweekjunior. Now, in last week's big debate, Joe and Eve discussed whether parks should be closed at night. Rahul, what were the results?
So 57%, so nearly two-thirds of our voters thought it was a good idea for parks to be closed at night and to give wildlife a little bit of peace and quiet.
Interesting. Okay, we also had a message here from Ellen to tell us her thoughts.
Hello, The Week Junior. My name's Ellen, I'm 13 years old, and I'm from Rugby. I believe that parks should be locked at night because it saves the wildlife, it keeps out any unwanted guests, and it provides employment for whoever has to lock and unlock the gates. Thank you and bye.
Flora, what do you think about Ellen's point of view there?
I think it's a nice point that, you know, you're keeping the wildlife safe. It's a very good thing to draw out from that debate.
Absolutely. Rahul, how about you?
Yeah, I think Ellen's given two good reasons. So there's the wildlife angle. Let's also not forget, you know, it's really wet at the moment. So as I well know from my son, all his football matches keep getting cancelled. So fewer people running around the park at night, the better. And then, as Ellen points out, it's also giving someone a job.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much to Ellen for getting in touch. And if you do want to hear your voice on this podcast, you'll basically be famous. Go to funkidslive.com/theweekjunior and record your thoughts. Flora, what other messages did we get this week?
So we had a few messages. We had someone writing in saying, because people who work shifts still need a place to walk their dogs or exercise, there should be better lighting and security cameras rather than closing them. Someone else said, I like going on early morning runs with my dad before school. And we might not be able to do that if the parks are closed. Wow, wonder how early they're going. And my personal favourite comment, what if I get locked in?
I love that just one sentence. And it's true. It's a good point. What
it's
if
true.
You, I
mean, yeah, very good point.
I like to think you wouldn't, but you don't know. Thank you so much to everybody for those very, very good opinions this week. Now, before we go and before we leave you on the podcast, we've got to reveal this week's real or rubbish. Rahul, can you remind me what the story is, please?
So the story is whether the V&A, a museum in London, are looking for a Taylor Swift superfan who would advise the museum and its staff about the wonder of Taylor Swift.
Now, I know the V&A do have to keep their finger on the pulse. Thinking about it, I've seen they have like exhibitions about like the history of ball gowns and stuff like that. And they've got, you know, quite a lot of popular fashion stuff going on there. So I'm wondering whether... This is, I think you might be trying to trick me in this. There's more to it. I feel like there's not just going to be a job for a Taylor Swift fan to come into the office and play Shake It Off and then leave. I'm wondering whether there's a bigger reason and you're hiding it from me. So I think this week the story is real. I think they are looking for a Taylor Swift superfan, and maybe I hadn't even thought it's the Eras Tour. Maybe it ties in quite perfectly with the Eras Tour coming to the UK. So Rahul, I'm going to say this week the story is real.
Well, Bex, you've nailed it. It absolutely is real. Your instinct, your Swifty instinct is correct. Yes. Yeah, I think they want a Taylor Swift fan to advise on possible future exhibitions. But actually, I think the deeper detail in the story is that the V&A is just really interested in super fandom. So they are also looking for super fans of Crocs emojis, and they've previously employed Lego and Pokemon super fans as well.
Wow. Okay. I might apply for that Taylor Swift job, but hey, look, also we should say to our listeners, if you're a super fan of The Week Junior, obviously let us know. Email us right now and go to funkidslive.com/theweekjunior. Tell us if you're a super fan of this podcast or the magazine. That is it for this week's episode of The Week Junior Show. Obviously, I'm thrilled I got that right. Thank you very much to Rahul and to Flora. And of course, don't forget to rate, review and subscribe or follow us wherever it is you get your podcasts. Tune into next week's show for some more debates, stories and chat from the team. See you then. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast, which is made by the same people that make The Week Junior magazine. You can get 6 free issues of The Week Junior or 3 issues of The Week Junior Science and Nature for £5 by heading to theweekjunior.co.uk/podcast offer.